it's been too long, it's been too many years, but finally we are welcoming back Dustin Sullivan to the RSC fold. Dustin, you've been performing nonstop since we saw you last, right? So you're ready to go?
Oh my God, I'm very busy and important is basically what's happening.
You are so busy and important that you're touring with us.
Yes, doesn't get any better.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 304. Welcome back, Dustin. Dustin Sullivan, famously given the nickname Holstein for his clean-cut All-American goodness by Mick Orff, joined us originally to perform all the great books abridged with us in this country and in Ireland, and has now returned to the RSC to perform in this year's special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged. So Reed Martin and I sat down with Dustin last weekend to see what he's been up to since last we saw him, and we started by complimenting him on his eerie, uncanny impression of President Obama.
Impression of President Obama looms large in the pantheon of theatrical mythology.
It's spot on. We all know. It's people start freaking out because they think.
Yeah, no, I know. For a white guy named Sullivan who looks Jewish, you are a spot on.
It all comes together.
Well, Obama, that's Irish, right? Obama?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
right. Now you, that was the last time you were with us, but you also toured to Ireland, right, with the book show?
Yeah, the book show is the big thing for me. I was, I started doing it in St. Louis Rep years and years ago, and then I went to Ireland with it, and then we did Alaska and some other places with it, and then San Jose Rep, mm-hmm. and then while at San Jose Rep, we rehearsed this show and took it on the tour.
Right. So those are the two shows you've done, books and America.
Yes.
You done?
Okay. Those are the two for now. Yeah.
And on this tour, we're going back to Dustin's hometown of Ithaca, New York.
That's right. Ithaca is gorgeous.
I'm excited to bring it back home. I haven't performed at home for quite a while now.
Have you ever performed in the State Theater?
You know, I don't think I did a benefit there. But that's it. My sisters performed at the State Theater, and I was really jealous.
You will perform there, and every time we go, it's an old-time hall that's seen bad days, but it is coming way back.
It was a movie theater. I saw movies there when I was a kid growing up. It was great.
Well, and every time we go back, it's little by little, they're bringing it back, and so it's one of those great old downtown venues.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It reminds me of a larger version of the Sebastiani Theater in Sonoma, which was built in the 30s, and they've lovingly restored over time.
So what have you been doing in the last 4 years? I know you did a big tour, and that's what I'm dying to hear about.
The last big thing I did was a tour of Little House on the Prairie, the musical.
Oh, that is sweet, right up my alley. I love a big musical.
It was based on an
existing property that can sell well.
Yes, we went to all the Heartland cities, everywhere we knew it would be loved. And the big draw was Miss Melissa Gilbert, now of Dancing with the Stars fame.
Was she a hoofer in your show? Now, Miss Melissa Gilbert, all right, for those who don't know, she played Half Pint, right? She played...
In the original TV show.
She played Laura.
She took over as the role of Ma in our show. There was a little jigging going on. She did some jigging in our show, but who knew the things that she was truly capable of in front of a broad national audience.
And are you still in touch with Half Pint?
We are Facebook connected.
Okay.
I don't really try to dabble in her life. I'm sure she has other more important things going on. Her son, though, was also in the show. She had a teenage son who is a delight. I would like to see him at some point, see how he's holding up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what cities did you go to, and for how long were you out on tour?
The tour lasted about 10 months. We started at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey.
Right.
And then it was a lot of random cities that most tours would not think to go. We were in Fayetteville for a while. We went to Little Rock. Our only big city sit down was Toronto. We were in Toronto for 5 weeks. But none of the Boston, Philly, New York, none of that stuff.
What, and was being in a big national tour of a Broadway-bound musical, was that a thing for you? I mean, was that a thing you always wanted to do? I mean, that's, to be a chorus boy in a musical is huge. I mean, are you that much of a triple threat?
No, just not at all. No, it was actually nice because there are so few musicals if you're, I mean, as a lead, you can get away with maybe not dancing in certain things. But for chorus, there are so few shows that you are allowed to not be a great dancer.
Right.
And I did okay. I served myself well in the callback. Mm-hmm. I at least gave them the impression that I could figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Truth? I'm not really sure. But yeah, it because it worked out that way, it really was a great opportunity, and it was my first big national tour.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like a good credit. It felt like a, you know, it was great people, very talented people.
Was it a fun show?
It was okay. It was problematic.
Because it's new. I mean, new shows are always tough.
Well, it was originally done at the Guthrie Theater a year prior to the tour, and then they took the year to kind of rework it. And I did not see that original production, so I think some things maybe changed and worked, and some things still needed some tinkering.
Right.
By far the best part of the show, I think, for audiences and for us as a cast, was the two leads, Almanzo and Laura, actually were a couple.
Oh,
they
cool.
They got together during the initial production at the Guthrie. They just got engaged. They're like the sweetest two people you could ever possibly meet. And actually, Kara Lindsay, the girl, she's now one of the stars in Newsies on Broadway.
Yeah.
And Kevin Massey, who was Almanzo, he was understudying the lead in Memphis.
Nice.
And he just so very talented. They were so sweet. Such a true romance on stage. It was like the one thing to watch and be like, oh, okay, this is good. This is a good thing to see.
Well, and those guys are doing huge gigs, and you're back touring with the Renew Shakespeare Company.
It's a dream come true for everybody.
Everybody wins.
Now, did they work on the show on the road with an eye towards taking it to New York? Or once you rehearsed it and got it up, it was it, and then it wasn't going to go to New York? Or how did it all work?
I think we did have a random week where we toyed with changing things, but I don't remember if we actually did. The idea was to take it to Broadway, and occasionally I still hear somebody say, oh yeah, I just heard about that show. It's still coming. I was like, well, okay. I mean, it's, you know, as a property, it is huge. So
yeah,
you'd think that there is a market for it.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to make this work. I'm sure that people are thinking of that.
I would have to imagine. But yeah, I don't know if it'll ever truly come to pass. I know in musicals that the road can be long from here to there, so...
But so you weren't, well, you didn't go to Boston, but you weren't, you know, going to bed late and getting up early because the writers had gone to their hotel room and written a new song for the chorus.
No, during the initial rehearsal period, we changed some stuff. There were some rhymes and some that were not working. At one point in the opening number, there was some line, you know, chorus like Hardy Men, like Taming the West, and there was something about putting money in our sack.
Oh, dear.
And it didn't fly. It didn't fly.
So was it meant to be a joke?
It really was not.
Oh, I see.
And the writers, I think, picked up on it pretty fast.
Well, have you always been a good singer? I mean, you must have, you not only fooled them in the dancing, but you're a legit singer, aren't you?
I would like to think that's true. I went to school for just acting, but I feel like a lot of the shows that I do have been musicals.
Okay.
I don't have as much confidence there, but I would like to keep pursuing it. It's...
Well, and on top of everything else, the one thing I do remember, aside from the various, you know, sporadic reports we would get from you on the road, that you were, I believe it was October of a couple of years ago, Broadway World's Gypsy of the Month.
And, I missed this.
And what does one do to become the Gypsy of the Month for Broadway World?
You know, sometimes fame just falls in your lap. It really was like I got a call from Broadway World just saying, hey, you're a chorus person in a show that's happening. Let's talk. I mean, there was no reason why it was me over the other 20 people in the cast.
Hi, this is Tom Gabbard. I'm president of the North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, and you're listening to the Renew Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, our fall of 2012 tour continues with performances of the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Hamilton and Ithaca, New York, hometown of Dustin Sullivan, Cranston, Rhode Island, Morristown, New Jersey, local town of McOrf, Chico and Saratoga, California, Northern California, that's good for me and Reed, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. Then we follow up with performances of The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska, and then we perform it for 3 weeks at San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking to Broadway World Gypsy of the Month, Dustin Sullivan. So, all right, so you've been doing that. How long did that tour go?
I went about 10 months, and it ended July a little over 2 years ago.
All right, a little over 2 years ago. So what are the big acting jobs you've done since then?
I mean, where to begin?
Oh.
I haven't had any.
Oh,
no,
wow.
It actually was... A career change happened that I somewhat foresaw and somewhat didn't realize the degree to which it was going to take me away from acting.
Oh.
Right before I started the tour, I applied for a program called the BMI Musical Theater Workshop, which Austin, back in the day...
I was in there with Cole Porter.
In Berlin, yes. What a character!
Yes.
Rodgers with both Hart and Hammerstein. What an asshole.
But it's this program. I didn't really know much about it until a friend of mine who's a composer said, you should apply for this, because I'd written a couple lyrics that I did. I mean, I had no idea if they were any good.
Right.
But I applied, and they let me take a year to do the tour and then just jump right in, which was very
awesome.
Nice of them. And it's this wonderful free program. You meet once a week. It's a number of lyricists and composers. And they give you assignments for the first year of various things you have to do. You have to write a song for Blanche and Streetcar and Willie's death scene.
Yeah, set it to music. And this is a curriculum devised by Lehman Engel many years ago. I think in the 50s, possibly the 60s. You know, and those are the classic assignments. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in there and working with my composer partner at the time, Andrew Howard, now Andrew Klein. And I can't even remember the song we wrote for Blanche. Whatever it was terrible. I can't even remember it. It was so bad.
One of the new assignments that they switched to was you have to write a comedy song that you wouldn't expect for like a movie adaptation, and we changed it to Angels in America. So I have a song called Mormon, Republican, and Gay, which I'm a huge fan of. You can find it on YouTube.
Can you?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I will.
I was quite proud of that one.
That's awesome.
So, yeah,
the song we wrote was the scene from Annie Hall where they're talking to each other, but they have subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
We musicalized that moment and wrote our own text and subtext. It was very fun. It was very fun. Gets me right in the kishkas. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it really has been a treat, and I guess technically I would have had the time to do shows if they'd been in New York, but the auditioning kind of just fell off, and I didn't watch it as it happened, so I fell into this thing where I was really just focusing on the writing, and it turned out to be a good thing. I've also been writing plays, and it's been a new creative outlet. But
that's awesome. And were you in the program, the BMI program, with a composer, or you would just go in there and you work with whatever composers are there?
Initially, I did not know anyone going in.
Mm-hmm.
And that first year, they do every assignment, they pair you off with somebody new. But what happened was, about midway through the first year, a wonderful gentleman by the name of Jonathan Reed Gelt came up and asked me.
Is that three names or two?
You know, it's three very firm, strong
okay,
names.
All right.
Jonathan Reed Gelt.
Got it.
I like the sound of that Reed.
Everyone should have Reed.
Yes. Well, and since it was just Yom Kippur just went by, I like the sound of Gelt.
Hanukkah Gelt. And he asked me if I would be willing to work with him on a show that he was writing. And I don't know why he asked, because I only presented like two songs and did not see myself as standing out in class, but bless his heart, because that's been the big project of the last year and a half, is we're writing a musical together. It's called Dust and Shadow, and it's about Sherlock Holmes investigating Jack the Ripper, and it's dark and crazy.
It's funny, you said Dust and Shadow. I went, you're changing, you got a stage name? Dustin Sullivan has become Dustin Shadow?
Like Orson's Shadow, but this is Dustin's Shadow.
Dustin's Shadow.
In class, I am known as Dustin Shadow. It's very nice.
Well, now we've talked a little bit about this. There's not a fantastic track record of Sherlock Holmes musicals.
Oof. There really isn't. And we were saying that part of the reason, I think, is because the prior attempts have been more on the comedic side of things. They try to kind of poke fun and just have it be this light, bantery.
Yeah.
And there's an element there, but if there's a comparison to be made, we are closer to the Jekyll and Hyde. There is a true darkness happening, and you see Sherlock be affected by it. And
it's not a song called Elementary, That's Us.
I will confess, in the last read that we just did of the script, he has a line about something being elementary, and I'm going to have a talk with him about, can we please can we please avoid that? Because I'm right, that's not, it never actually happened. It's right up there with Play It Again, Sam.
Yes, I think it's not a line that actually exists in Conan Doyle's stories.
So I would love to not just nix it.
And so you say it's like Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, the Frank, what's his name?
Wild Horn
musical.
Yes.
So that's the closest in tone?
I think so. I mean, some people also say, oh, so it's like Sweeney Todd because it's the exact same time and London.
Okay.
And, you know, we're very close to Sondheim and talent.
Yes.
So, but yeah, as far as, like, the darkness of it and the character of the Ripper is certainly upsetting. It's an upsetting. He sings songs that will hopefully give you shivers and make you go, oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Have you seen your stuff? Has any of your writing been performed in front of a real audience as opposed to just a workshop audience yet?
Of this show, no. Mm-hmm. And because John asked me so early, that's most of what my repertoire is still 2 years later. Yeah. I have a couple songs, again, a couple things on YouTube that I've done outside of class, just like fun songs that I've done for kicks. Mm-hmm. But as for actual like songs from a musical, it's hopefully coming soon. Okay. Like we keep doing demos to be ready to give out to people, but... Yeah, we're reaching the point. We're doing our first equity read in November, and that'll be the first time we have like kind of more public people coming in.
Well, and the reason I ask is that the BMI workshop was great for us, and we met a lot of people. But Andrew and I had already written a couple of shows, and we came in with a couple of shows under our belt, and then we learned a lot about we probably shouldn't have done that then in the show, you know, that kind of stuff after the fact. But we never wrote another show post the workshop. Because we sort of went our different ways, and I joined the RSC.
Right.
But I've written a bunch of songs for the RSC, and I have to say I've learned more writing songs for the RSC than I think I did in the workshop.
Did you do it for a year or two, or how long did you do it?
I did it for the 3 years.
Yeah.
The 3 years, and it was enormously valuable. It's weird. I found it weird because it presupposes that such a thing can be taught. And I'm not 100% convinced it can't. I mean, I think you either have an ability to write or you don't, and you can learn how to be a better writer.
Yes.
But I don't think it can teach you how to write if you don't know how to write already.
I totally agree. I mean, I think for me and for a lot of people, the most important thing is it facilitates meeting other people with whom you can collaborate with.
Yes.
And from there, it gives you a sense of like the general outline of rules that you might want to follow or know them before you break them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Like most of what I've learned has come from actually just writing the tunes and seeing if they work in front of other people.
Well, in our shows, it either gets a laugh or it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And it does. And we're not writing songs to tell stories generally, so that's a whole different thing as well. But it's fascinating. I mean, I would almost love to go back now and do it again, now that I have a really lot of experience under my belt.
Well, could you?
I don't know.
Technically, I mean, sometimes they do a culling of the advanced members to make room, but technically it's like a rolling membership.
It wouldn't surprise me if I got culled pretty quick. but no, I think that's very cool. Well, it's cool that you've got this other thing. Are you going to continue to look for other acting gigs besides us?
You know, honestly, this has been a little bit of a nice jump start. It's like, oh yeah, I do act. That's what I did for 30 years. Well, I might want to keep
We just had our first rehearsal for the American show, which we're going to do again for tomorrow night for the first time, and it seems like you haven't lost a step. It's like you never left.
I hope that is true. It's shocking after 2 years of not acting to just have like one day of rehearsal. It feels a little bit like actor's nightmare, but it seems like to be working out okay.
Yes, God forbid we don't want to. Reed and I don't want to have a culling.
Nor do we. Nor are we ever accused of over rehearsing.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us what you've been up to these last 4 years via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. We hope you will. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Saucy Jack Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Brian Connery. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tom Gabbard, president of the North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, where we will be performing the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged over the 2012 Thanksgiving weekend. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 304 912ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You're a naughty one, Saucy Jack. You're a haughty one, Saucy Jack. When the street lamp's gaslight flickers and fails, then you see the last light glinting off the entrails. Oh, naughty, naughty.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.